Every spring at our home, Linda and myself, our lives are somewhat altered by a mother robin. I don't know if it's the same one, but just about every year she builds her nest and decides to raise her family right above my back door of the house, where you walk into the yard that you go out 100 times a day. And this year she did something a little different. She went and built her nest at the side door. There's a wreath on the door, and she built her nest and has 4 eggs in there now on the door that goes, again, that we use 50 times a day, that goes to our basement. And so we try to acquiesce, you know, and sort of, you know, because many times over the years she flies out, she flies in, she flies out, the legs, the eggs get broken, even the babies at times have died, you know. And so we reduce our traffic and have to change our lifestyle a little bit because, and when you come out, boy, she dive bombs you, she squawks at you. I think she has my poor little dog frightened. Not the smartest bird in the world, but I'll tell you what, she's gutsy. I'll give her that. Gutsy when it comes to protecting her babies. I heard a comedian say the other day that fathers get a bad rap. You know, people are always talking about, watch it, if you see a bear in the woods, you know, don't ever get near those cubs. A mother bear, the mother bear. Don't ever get near a mother bear's cubs. And he said, you know, my question is, where's the father? What's he out doing? You know, why is it always the mother's job to protect them? Is he just out with the other bears hanging around? Or, you know, what's he doing? Animals have a fierce and protective maternal instinct, sometimes equal or even beyond humans' maternal protective instincts. Elephants may be the most protective moms on the planet. The female elephants will travel with their children, and they travel in such a way that they form a circle, and the youngest, the most vulnerable of the children are in the middle of that circle while the elephants surround them, and that's how they travel, protecting them from predators and enemies. And if for some reason a baby elephant's mom dies, all of the moms in the herd will adopt that baby elephant. The kangaroo is pregnant for only 21 to 38 days. And when a baby kangaroo is born, it's about the size of a bee. But he or she will remain in that mother's pouch for nearly a year. You see, the baby kangaroo always sees life from his mother's point of view. The dolphin mother, when she has a calf, immediately that baby is swimming, right? From birth, the baby dolphin is swimming. But it's hard to keep up with the mother, so the mother creates a wake called a slipstream. And that wake that is created draws that baby to her side, and for all of the months that keep on going, that it will be assured that that little calf will be able to be at his mother's side because of the wake that was created. The octopus is probably the most unusual. An octopus lays thousands of eggs, and it keeps them breathing and free of bacteria by continually fanning them with muscular organs called siphons. And this process can go on for a long time, this mother octopus fanning these eggs and protecting these eggs. And when the process is going on, she doesn't eat. She won't leave to eat. And some scientists have recorded it as much as 4.5 years that this goes on. And then all of a sudden, it's time, and she sends the eggs out, blows them out into the ocean, And then she dies of starvation. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. All of us have probably seen and experienced this protective instinct of our mothers, right? It's there. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. And we're in John chapter 10. More than half of this chapter is about sheep and shepherds and sheep pens and sheep thieves and sheep robbers, sheep gates and doors. It involves strangers and hired hands and a flock of sheep. It's really enough there for a lifetime to study. And John chapter 10 is just one of many chapters and texts in the Old Testament and the New Testament on the subject. Even when we get to the end of the Bible, as we read today in Revelation chapter 7, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, who will be the shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water and wipe away all their tears. We still have the theme of this shepherd protecting his sheep, even in eternity. Much can be said, certainly on the topic, but I just want to bring your attention to the protection of the Good Shepherd. And we know, and certainly animals know, right, that the youngest among us are the most vulnerable. We want to protect the little ones. We want to protect the children. We understand that they need the children of our families, the children of our society, of our neighborhoods, of our churches. We have to protect them. We have to guard them in many different ways. But right here, Jesus is not specifically talking to children. It's winter time. John is very specific. Why does John tell us that? I don't know. But he says it's winter, and he tells us where they are. They're on Solomon's portico. They're in this place close to the temple area, and it seems as though many believe it's a place where you would go for protection. Protection from the winter. Protection from the cold. And so Jesus is with the disciples and the leaders of Israel on Solomon's portico, Solomon's colonnade. It's not a group of children, but it's a group of distinguished, learned, capable people, a group of adults, the leaders of the nation. And Jesus is telling them, people need to be protected, and you are the ones that were supposed to be protecting them. And you failed. You failed, and now I'm going to do it. The sheep are known by him, they hear him, they follow him, they have eternal life, and they are secure. They are protected. They are in his hand. Right? We talk about being in good hands. You want to be in good hands, and we use that as a metaphor for protection. Don't worry, you're in good hands. Right? Jesus says, it's interesting to see the pathway here, the pattern of hands. In verse 28, we have the hands of Jesus. They are in my hands, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. In verse 29, they are in the hands of the Father. No one will snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then we have the hands of the Pharisees and the scribes and the other leaders, the other shepherds, the bad shepherds. Their hands, in verse 31, pick up stones to throw at Jesus. And in verse 39, it says that Jesus, they wanted to lay hands on Jesus, and Jesus had to escape from their hands. And so we have this whole theme here of protection, of being in the shepherd's hand. Now, what exactly is Jesus saying that he's going to protect them from. Problems, sickness, suffering, disappointment. What is it? An easier life? Is he promising them an easier life? What's he going? What is this protection that he offers? What does he mean when he says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers of the sheep? Well, first of all, the 300 years before Jesus, before this time period, was a very chaotic time. Just a century and a half before Jesus, what happened? Jesus is standing there, and it tells us it's the Feast of the Dedication, it's Hanukkah. As Jesus talks about God's protection and no one snatching them out of his hand. And what had happened was that the cruel Antiochus Epiphanes, that cruel pagan ruler, had gone in and destroyed the Jewish temple, knocked down the altar, and set up a sacrifice to a pagan god. And there was a rebellion, there was a revolt by the Maccabees, the Maccabean revolt, Judas Maccabees. And there was this war, and they defeated the enemy and rebuilt the temple. So this happened 150 years before Jesus is standing there. But the whole period was one of chaos. It was one of constant wars, constant rumors of wars. It was one where there were so many competing voices. Competing voices from the political realm, from the religious realm. All of these people rising up and all of these voices. From the Roman world, from the Greek world, all of the many shepherd gods of Hellenism and all of the gods of the Romans. Chaotic times. So many voices, so many trying to grab power, trying to grab attention. Really like most times in human history, right? Like most of human history. In some ways, like our days. It's not really any different, is it? No, Jesus isn't talking about protecting them from the Romans or protecting them from cancer or for protecting them from something else. He's speaking about the chaos in the world. He's speaking about the many voices that are coming at them and the many false leaders, false prophets. We live in chaotic times. I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to tell you that it's volatile. It really is. I don't know if it's, you know, came to church today, and for the first time ever coming here in 18 years, I thought, you know, I wonder if maybe there'll be a protest. I wonder if somebody will somehow spray paint something on our church, you know, over the weekend, or something might have happened. I never would even think that before. The country is somewhat of a tinderbox, isn't it? I mean, will Vladimir Putin hit the button and it's all going to be over? We worry about inflation and economy and food shortages and gas prices. Always something new to set people off and put people in the streets. But you know, it's always been this way. And Jesus said there are competing voices everywhere. And tempers are short. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. And no one's going to snatch them out of my hand. No one. I say this not to instill fear, but just to say that, you know, it's not easy, is it? I mean, the world our world now is a difficult place. A difficult place for our children. I thank God that a long time ago, When I was about 10 years old, we were in a Baptist church, and I've told you this story before, but we were in a Baptist church. And, you know, back then, if you wanted to join the church, you had to come forward as a family and, you know, publicly acknowledge that you were receiving the Lord and going to follow Him. And I remember that Sunday that my family came up, and I don't know much about it, what happened, you know, but I'm standing up in front of a whole hundreds of people, and they're singing Just As I Am. And I just remember, you know, I don't really know totally what's going on here. And I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm about 10. I said, you know what, I know I need protection through life. I need help. I can't make it through life without Jesus. I can't make it on my own. I knew that. And I said, Lord, help me. Just help me. We've talked about St. Patrick before. Patrick, as you know, and as we mentioned, he was a missionary to Ireland, kidnapped, right? Escaped, and then went back. It was a scary place. The Druids, evil people, the Druids were in control. And tried to kill Patrick several times, poison him. I mean, he was always on the run, always in fear of being killed. And in 433 AD, he was making a journey, and they were hunting Patrick down. And as the Druids, and as they lay in hiding, ready to kill him, Patrick and his men, the only thing they see is a doe followed by 20 fawns. And it's a miracle in Patrick's life, that one of the miracles, many, that saved him. And so he wrote a poem that we sing now, the Deer's Cry. Some of us know it as St. Patrick's Breastplate. Sometimes we sing it at any ordination I've ever been to. The song is sung. But the poem that he wrote about God's protection: I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, and God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me, afar and anear, alone or in a multitude. Christ shield me today against wounding. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation.